All right. When you go around, if you want people to put you face, there's a speaker. Okay. All right. So let's pray.
Anything else? Just be sure to not touch anything else.
Just hold it like down like this.
Okay.
And yeah, cause see, you can see it blinking across there. See how it's blinking across? Okay. All right. So, Father, we just thank you right now in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you, Lord God, that what you've had in our sister, Lord God, I thank you for the manifestation today, Father God. I thank you, Lord God, what you have had her to build upon, Father God, what's been in here, Father God, incubating, Father God. I thank you for the birth today. I thank you for it coming forth. I thank you for your truth, your knowledge, your understanding. I thank you that your word is in her mouth and on her tongue in the name of Jesus. I thank you for rivers, Father God, flowing out of her in the name of Jesus. Father, we give you all praise, all honor, all glory in this vessel in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We heard a song in the worship this morning. Says, I am. That song says it all as far as the way that we should be walking in this earth concerning I am. And being able to profess that or confess that in our daily lives is that it's I am. Whatever God says that we are, that's what we should be saying we are. Which means that there is not sickness or disease. It's when we pray the Lord's Prayer is, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Which means that the same life that we are living, that we're going to live in heaven, we can live it here. Mm-hmm. We have some limitations because we have a flesh as well here. So we've got to be sure that we take care of that. So we are body, we are spirit, soul, and body. We are spirit, we have a soul, and we live in a body.
Amen.
So to minister to all of that and to portray the I am that God intends for us to live, that's how we should live our lives. I have a personal confession that I pray every morning. I don't usually write my own things. I always get it from resources. And this is called Prayers That Avail Much. And there are a few of you who I've seen have a portion of the book. No mother has a volume of it. But this personal confession says everything, and it speaks about my life. And I see it in my life when I speak it. We had there was also a word given through the Lord, given by the Lord through Pastor Kathy on last week, that talked about us stop looking at the former things, looking at the past, and to start speaking the future, really look to the future. Charles Capps talks about that God said that his people are to speak what they want and not to speak what they have. Because what we have is not good, but we can have better. Because Jesus came for us to have life and have it more abundantly. And in order to live the life more abundantly, then we're to live the way the word says that we're able to live.
Amen.
And we do that by speaking it out of our mouths. We have to do it. That's the work that we do, is speaking the word out of our mouths and speaking the word of God, speaking the word that God says. And this confession is, Jesus is Lord over my spirit, my soul, and my body. Jesus has been made unto me wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The Lord is my shepherd. I do not want. My God supplies all my need according to his riches in glory. In Jesus Christ, I do not fret or have anxiety about anything. I do not have a care. I am the body of Christ. I am redeemed from the curse because Jesus bore my sicknesses and carried my diseases in his own body. By his stripes I am healed. I forbid any sickness or disease to operate in my body. Every organ, every tissue of my body functions in the perfection in which God created it to function. I honor God and bring glory to him in my body. I have the mind of Christ and hold the thoughts, feelings, and purposes of his heart. I am a believer and not a doubter. I hold fast to my confession of faith. I decide to walk by faith and practice faith. My faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Jesus is the author and the developer of my faith. The love of God has been shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Spirit, and his love abides in me richly. I keep myself in the kingdom of light, in love, in the word, and the wicked one touches me not. I tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. I take my shield of faith and quenches every fiery dart. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world.
Amen.
I am delivered from this present evil world. I am seated with Christ in heavenly places. I reside in the kingdom of God's dear Son. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. I fear not, for God has given me a spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind. God is on my side. I hear the voice of the Good Shepherd. I hear my Father's voice and the voice of a stranger I will not follow. I roll my works upon the Lord. I commit and trust them wholly to him. He will cause my thoughts to become agreeable to his will, and so shall my plans be established and succeed. I am a world overcomer because I am born of God. I represent the Father and Jesus well. I am a useful member in the body of Christ. I am his workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus. My Father God is all the while effectually at work in me, both to will and do his good pleasure. I let the word dwell in me richly. He who began a good work in me will continue until the day of Christ. Even reading that in the mornings gets me really excited about living life. So it's just been a real blessing. The handouts that I gave you, one is faith. It's a study that I've done with Kenneth Copeland Ministries, the single handout.
Okay.
It's the study is called Faith is of the Heart and Not of the Mind.
Mm.
And this day's study is Speak the Truth in Love. And I pointed out that thing because of the word that we heard from the Lord on last week concerning not looking at the past, but to look forward. In Mark 11, I believe, is where that scripture is that says, thou shalt have whatsoever you say. It's Mark 11. Well, it starts at Mark 11, 22. And Jesus answering said to them, have faith in God. There's another translation that says, have the faith of God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say to this mountain, be you removed, and be you cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. And when we speak the word of God, we know that the word of God is power. Faith-filled words will put you over. Words are the most powerful thing in the universe. So when we're speaking God's word, then we can't lose. We're winners all the time when we speak what God said. And I think that that was one of the things that Carmen had mentioned a couple of weeks ago concerning us speaking the word. We have to speak what God said.
Yes.
I heard a partial message about I am. When we take God's name in vain when we say that I am something against what God didn't say that we are.
Mm-hmm.
God said that we are healed and we're to live. We are healed through our whole bodies from the crown of our head to the sole of our feet, the tips of our toes. And because Jesus came for that healing, then anything that is against what God said that we are, then we're taking his name in vain because he says that I am and he's all inclusive. That's in everything.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus came to complete all of that. Mm-hmm. Even in Deuteronomy 28, talks about the blessing. Deuteronomy 28:1-13 talks about the blessing. So when we choose life, He said, choose you this day whom you're going to serve. And that's, I think, believers in Deuteronomy 30, verses 19 and 20. That was about choose Jesus day. Today I give you life, and for you to choose life. When we choose life, then we'll live that life. Mm-hmm. We also have the ability to choose death. When we're speaking mm-hmm. negative, we're choosing death. Mm-hmm. When we speak life, then that means we're speaking to living in the life that God has set for us to live. Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 13 talks about the blessing. 14 starts with, if you don't do what God said to do, then you're walking in darkness, and that means you're walking, you're doing. Then the negative is darkness, and that's death. Jesus came for us to have life and have it more abundantly, not to live in death, and not to live in a destroyed life. So that means that every part of our lives can be awesome. This talks about speaking the truth in love. Believe God to develop his character in your spirit. The fruit of a spirit yielded to God is love. And that's in Galatians 5. So we'll go to Galatians 5. Verse 22 through 23.
Excuse me.
Let's start at verse 16, and then we'll read through. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And in studying this, walking in the Spirit here is not necessarily saying walking in the Holy Ghost. Walking in the Spirit here is walking in my Spirit, the Spirit that I have, and shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. But for the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. And there gives them an example of when Paul said that he desired to do well, but that he had this force that was causing him not to, or that was hindering him to. Jesus has given us the power to be able to have authority over any and everything, so no weapon that is formed against us can prosper.
That's right.
So we can come against anything. 18 again. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. So then all of the laws that we would have been living in or were living in before Jesus came, we no longer have to live under the law, because our spirits, we renew our mind through our spirit and through the word and gathering the word, so that we can have the authority to come against the flesh and not allow the flesh to rule our lives. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication. We pretty much know all those things. I don't really focus on a whole lot of things that I'm not supposed to be doing. I only focus on the things that I am to do. In the past, I have focused on, oh, I can't do that, I can't do this. And when you focus on that, then it seems like, yo, I can't do anything. But when you look at what you can do, we are able to do more than those other things. And we all know what the other things that we say we can't do, all that you said about not doing, we know what that causes. So, and we don't want to feel those consequences. So we'll go to 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And this this study is a partial study from Kenneth Copeland, but if you go at the bottom, it'll tell you, on the bottom of the sheet, it does tell you how to get to that. And there's actually a whole video of this whole study, which is really good. Which is why I was saying I do better with dialogue or feeding off of other people. Because when I'm listening to other teachings, I have whole messages in between what somebody else said.
understand that, sister.
I have my own little mistress. Yeah. But standing up here is really quite different. Anyway. This is why I have all this
stuff here. I know. You preached that message in between, yeah, too, yeah, right? Go on, girl.
That's right. That's right.
Well, Tammy, you're talking about love and everything. Just God just brought to my mind. Uh-huh. The song that says you can have money, you can have fame, you can have fortune and all, but without love, you're bankrupt.
Without love, you're bankrupt. Yeah, you can have all those things, and without love, you're bankrupt. Faith works by love. So we can't even walk by faith without the love. Mm-hmm. Yeah, without the love. And we are saved by grace through faith. One of the definitions I learned about grace from this study is, how does he put it? Grace is God's overwhelming desire to treat you like sin never happened.
That's good.
Awesome. Yeah, if we can walk in that song that we played a few weeks ago, Live Like You Loved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Live Like You Loved. That is God's love.
Mm-hmm. We got to play that again, grace, brother.
Yes. Grace, live like you loved. If we live like we love, every day is just awesome. And our expectations, I think, Sister Annette said that last week about expectations. We get what we expect. About expectations, if we live like we're loved, then all of our lives would be great. Awesome. Robert?
I learned in evangelistic classes that I took the word grace as an acrostic word, as God's riches at Christ's expense.
God's riches at Christ's expense. Mm-hmm. Amen. Grace. Amen.
Yes. Can you give us your definition again, please?
God's overwhelming desire.
Bless you.
God bless you. Thank you.
To treat you like sin never happened. Amen.
Thank you.
And then believe and don't doubt, and you will have what you say.
Hallelujah.
We go back to Mark 11 when it talks about having what you say. Even the woman with the issue of blood, when she was the only, things happen so fast in the Bible sometimes. It's hard to just kind of stop and think about what they actually did. But her actual actions were, she had heard about Jesus. So, and I guess I was saying, like Tracy used to say, this is my movie. So, she heard what Jesus, she had heard about Jesus. She had heard what he was doing. So, I guess in her mind, she's thinking, when they heard the crowd coming and she knew that Jesus was coming, she's thinking, if I could just touch the hem of his garment. Mm. So she heard it. She heard about him. She spoke. If I could just touch the hem of his garment, I will be whole. Mm. And as she was going, that's what she's saying. That's what she's thinking in her mind. And as she gets to him, she touches his garment without him seeing her or any of the other disciples, which is why he said, who touched me? Because it was her faith that touched him. Mm-hmm. So when we, because God is only waiting on us to release our faith, because everything that we need, God has already done, which is why prayer is like, oh God, do this and God, do that. He's given us the authority for it. We just have to get our faith into the place where God can do what we've asked him to do. When we say, oh, God may not come when you want him, but he's right on time. So what we actually are saying about that is all the other times we have been trying to do things to make it happen. When God shows up is when we say, okay, God, I can't do anything else. You got it. However you work this out, God, you do it. Because then we've released our faith and we've let God do it and not try to do it ourselves. But when she touched his garment, and then the other thing about that is when she was a testimony to Jairus was he had already said, Lord, come to my house because my daughter is sick. So that she could be healed. So it was a testimony because that was similar to what he was going through at home because his daughter was sick. And the servants came and said, no, your daughter is dead. And Jesus said, have faith. Mm-hmm. He just nipped that in the bud and said, no, have faith. Because he had already spoken. Jairus had already spoken. So what he spoke actually came to pass. Mm-hmm. And anytime Jesus healed somebody, he said, your faith has made you whole. Mm-hmm. And it was what they said is what came to pass. Mm-hmm. Or if he came to somebody and he was talking to them, the man who was sitting by the pool, he said, do you want to be made whole? Mm-hmm. And he said, yes, Lord. And then he just lifted him up. So once he got the revelation that, wow, if I just believe this, it's right there. Mm-hmm. Even now that Jesus has died and gone to the cross, gone and sitting at the right hand of the Father, he is right here. Mm-hmm. So we don't have to call him down and say, oh, Jesus, come down and touch my head. Oh, Jesus, come down. Because he's already here. Mm-hmm. The same Jesus, the same way that Jesus walked on the earth is the way that we can walk on the earth. Mm-hmm. And we are considered the sons of God. We are the ones who should be reigning in this earth. Mm-hmm. Is as the sons of God. Meaning that we can walk just as Jesus walked on the earth. Which is the way that Adam and Eve should have been walking before they committed high treason. That's what okay. I'm gonna say. So I'm seeing it more and more in my life. I've also coming to the knowledge of being a realization of faith. There are times when I am, like, listening to so much that my faith gets really high. So I'm thinking, oh, like, I really, truly believe I can fly. Like, you know.
Because that mountain is really cool.
I believe, yes.
Go out there and push it.
And then when I talk to other people and they seem, even people who I've put in higher positions, and then I'll say something to them about something, and then their response was not what, like I was thinking, like, oh, that's not what the words say. You know, who? So then it kind of gets me, it used to get me to a place where I'd be like, well, why is that? But it's basically, as far as the word is concerned, it's how much of it do we want? Because it's our free will. God's given all of us a free will. Mm-hmm. We do better when our children do what we ask them to do willingly. Because you don't want them to do it grudgingly. There was a pastor who had given a testimony about, who was, every day he had this certain prayer time with God, and he was seeing the fruits of that. He was seeing the fruits of that prayer time. And then something came up, an event came up that he was invited to. And so he was torn between going to this event and having his time with the Lord. And so after he prayed about it, he seen that it was fine for him to go to this event. But because he went to that event, other things started coming up. So then that time with the Lord just dwindled off. He wasn't having that time with the Lord. And so he went to the Lord and he said, well, Lord, you haven't really said anything about this time. And the Lord said, no, this is free will. He said, when you are ready, I'm here. So when he went to pursuing God again as he was before, it was fine, but God didn't nudge him saying, oh no, you. And that's the love. That's how God shows us that love, because it's free will. We have a right to want to, and we have to dig deeper and deeper. When things happen in our lives, we're to look in the scripture to find the answer, and then that is the scripture that we stand on concerning that situation. Mm-hmm. Robert?
That's why he says in his word, he says, pray without ceasing.
Without ceasing.
even though we're following Jesus, our own selfish ambitions will get in the way and cause us to go astray, just like he did. His selfish ambition was to go to that concert or wherever he was going instead of praying.
Mm-hmm.
So that got in the way of what he was actually supposed to do. And that's our own selfish ambitions. They've gotten my way a lot. And I've had to correct them and ask for forgiveness because I didn't do what God was telling me to do. That's why he says in his word also too, he says, you have not because you ask not.
You have not because
you
ask
not. God's not going to perform things for you. He wants for you to be involved and ask. Not saying
right.
He won't do things that you don't ask for, because, I mean, he gives you breath of life.
Mm-hmm.
but you have to realize, you have to ask for things. You know, don't think, and we get astray a lot of time because I have, trying to do things on my own instead of praying and asking God, what am I supposed to do? You know,
right.
In this situation I'm in, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then seeking God through every part of that process. Every part of that process. But again, the love of God, he doesn't bring condemnation, which is another thing, is a lot of the times when I've gotten into condemnation, it's condemnation that I put on myself,
mm-hmm.
because I think that, like even I had put on, I almost had a condemnation that I was going to put on myself about being up here today, about the way I should dress. Like, I should, there are ways that I sell real estate, so I dress differently. I dress differently when I come here. But this morning I was going through this whole thing. I'm thinking, nah, I'm with family. What am I doing? You know, that's another distraction. And that's another thing that the enemy causes us distraction with. And God doesn't do that. There's always, God treats us with love. It's love. Not condemnation. So I wasn't able to do this prayer time at this time, but there's another time in the day that I can do it. Just do that. Don't stand back and hold yourself with condemnation that you weren't able to do it. Because you get so much bogged down in the condemnation that the time that you were condemning yourself for doing this, you could have been doing it.
Mm-hmm.
You could have been doing what? You could have been doing what you
right.
Yeah. Condemning
Lord.
Yourself for.
Mm-hmm. Or having this little pity party. You know that little time that you had the pity party. You have to immediately, but the more that you read the word, and you have to be, it talks about putting it in your eyes, ears, so that it goes in your heart, so that
Amen.
You can speak it out of your mouth.
Amen.
Because just being in there, but it needs to come out of your mouth. Because we need to, it has to be spoken out of your mouth. That the second handout with the two pages is called "There's a miracle in your mouth."
Hallelujah.
That there is a miracle in our mouths. That miracle in our mouths can change every area of our lives. You can either live under God's word or the devil's. You can either choose words of death and doubt, or you can choose words of life. And that goes back to Deuteronomy 30, 19 and 20, where it talks about making that choice. But that message is just a really good message concerning our mouths. The statement that he makes here at the top is, I'm about to make a statement you might find a bit startling, especially coming from a faith preacher. And this is Ken Copeland's article, like me. But I want it to mark your thinking, so I'm going to say it very bluntly. It takes more than just faith in your heart to bring the word of God to pass in your life. The woman with the issue of blood had the word in her heart that if she could just touch his garment, and she will be healed. But she was not healed and made whole till she touched this garment. Till she actually did the action. Because there's a lot of things, and there are things that there are things that I say in my heart and want, and God has granted them. But that's God's love again, and that goes to that grace again, His grace. But speaking the word to specific things, and growing with the fruits of the Spirit is an important thing. This is a little book. I have quite a few little books. The Charles Capps books, I do have those with me. So if you haven't gotten them, said I do have some. So you can take those with you. I don't have any of these, but I will get some more of these. Do you have a question?
No.
Shirley?
Oh,
no, okay.
No.
Okay. This book is by Dr. Noble Haynes. And it's called Confession Brings Possession. I've always said that I'm kind of scatterbrained, so I have scattered around a lot of things. But this will give you an exciting study when you get home. Yeah, you can make it exciting. It says, don't talk about mountains. This is something that the Lord had told him. As the Lord instructed me in this area, He said, I told my children in my word that whatsoever they shall say unto this mountain, whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed. Mark 11:23. But my children don't obey that. Mm. They don't talk to the mountain. They want to talk to me about their mountains. Mm. This is unscriptural. They want to.
Chew that. Yeah.
That sounds like we've been sitting at the oak table.
With just the table there.
With that.
Question. Can you read that one more time, please?
Yes. He said, I told my children in my word that whosoever, and we know that whosoever is
us,
whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed. But my children don't obey that. They don't talk to the mountain. They want to talk to me about their mountains. This is unscriptural. Which is why we gotta speak the word. Which is why we gotta search the word to see what it says.
Tell the mountain about God. Right? Tell God about the mountain.
Yeah.
That's right. Because He already knows it's there.
Yeah. There's a song I've been singing all week. It's been in my heart, but I have to watch certain parts of the song. It's called Even If. And the reason for the guy writing the song is really wonderful, but there's a part of the song that says that you hold back the mountains for them to be moved, but God isn't holding back mountains because God told me to speak to the mountain and tell the mountain to move. Even though I really do like that song. And then it says, but even if you don't, my hope is in you, Lord, which is, that is the truth. That when He hasn't. You want to share something?
Because
you
got to share that.
I'm just thinking about all the stuff.
Okay, so you got to share that. Yeah.
You can
climb the mountain.
You can weigh yourself out and climb the rough side.
Oh, that is good. Yes.
Climb
the rough side and
climb all the mountains.
That's right.
We black people always sing. It's a song that we just like to sing.
I'm not climbing the mountain.
Heartily, you know, like, oh yes,
I'm climbing up those mountains.
Yes. Well, God, yeah.
I'm climbing up on the rough side of the mountain.
Yeah. Instead of just saying move mountain.
Yeah. Yeah. Words, but the word says for us to move the mountain. So,
the other mountain.
Yeah.
We're so busy trying
to climb. So it's kind of one of those feel-good songs, I guess.
Yeah.
Because of the music. It's one of those feel-good songs that, you know, you just...
Yeah. Well, yeah, but you're singing and the words aren't scriptural.
The, right. The words aren't scriptural.
I mean, there's a few songs.
And we have to be careful about that.
Yeah, there's a few songs now that I've whispered to Kathy and I'm like... I don't sing that sentence. I don't sing that word. I mean, even ones that we've sung here the last few months.
That's,
and she whispers back to me, I don't either, because it's that the rest of the song is fine.
Right.
But there's that one line or those few words, I'm like...
And then when you hear the story behind why they wrote the song, you do understand.
Oh, yeah.
But again,
but it's not scriptural. Yeah. And
you're
so,
saying that over and over again.
Yeah.
Carolyn?
My thing is, and I don't know about nobody else, but I think they forget who is inside. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in this world. Mm-hmm. He is the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. If something don't click or it doesn't compute, Holy Spirit will let me know. And I got no right saying that. Or doing that. Or thinking that. Because your thoughts can really get you messed up.
And I think we just forget who we are in him. Just period. Like
we do.
The strength that we have in him.
Yeah.
Like what we're capable of doing.
Yeah.
Moving things. You know, we let fear and doubt come in.
Because
that's even with me. You know, I forget that, you know, who I am in him sometimes. That, you know, all I have to do is say, okay, God, look, we need to make something happen. You know, but instead I try to let man or somebody put fear in me instead of speaking to the issue and making it move.
Right.
That's
right.
Yeah. And I think with what Victoria's saying goes with what Tammy started off with. When you first get up in the morning and you speak that scripture or your first mind goes to the Lord or you speak that confession, that sets your day, and then it's harder for those things to come in with the fear. So, it's moving in the word that day.
I'm sorry, Mother.
That's okay. What I'm saying is that we all have mountains in our life.
We do.
Mountains come from every sort and every way in our life. But we just have to remember. The word is remember who we serve and what he said. He said he will remove them. If we call on him, he will just, our mountains will vanish. But when we call on him, we have to believe.
You have to believe. Amen.
So it all come back to faith. The faith that where your faith lies. And as Courtland said, my God.
My God.
Because even in the tape when he said, when he was leaving, he never have any money. And he go back to his wife, he said, I can't go. Because I don't have any money. His wife said, you got to go. He put on his clothes and he went outside and the man meet him with the money at the door. He go back in. He said, I know I can go. He said, only you did worry. You alone was worried. A faithful woman.
Faithful.
And a faith in God. I give Kathy the tapes then because you know what? The church needs to hear those tapes. It's awesome. But all we need to have is faith in God.
Faith in God.
Amen.
If you have the faith, you're going to witness to people because he said, you know, go out and witness to all the world. Mm-hmm. And the thing about it is, you have faith. But you also got to witness to people and not be ashamed of the gospel. In other words, he says in Matthew, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, and if you don't believe in your heart, you're not going to confess it with your mouth, and you're going to be scared to say something. And God's given me the boldness. I'm not scared to tell anybody. You know, I'm a child of God. You know, you need to stop what you're doing. You need to confess. You need to give up your sin, you know, whatever it takes, and that's why he said go out and witness to all the world. And if you really believe in your heart, you're going to witness to people. You're not going to be ashamed to tell somebody that you're a child of God and tell them when they're doing something wrong. You know, if I do something wrong and I'm not supposed to, my wife would tell me and I thank her for it. You know, I thank her.
That not she, at you know, first.
Sometimes I'll let my anger and sometimes my pride get in the way and stuff like that. But then when you confess it, say, hey, I was wrong. You know, then, but you also got to witness to other people to be able to confess to them.
That's the important thing.
Because if you don't believe in your heart and confess to other people, you're holding back. You don't have faith, but you're holding back what God wants you to
do. Right.
Denise? I jumped in here when I was reading the back of your article here. And it says the truth will change the facts. And I really needed to do this for a lot of different reasons. But Jennifer called me every day. Called me every morning, especially since she's been a mom. By the way, guys, Jennifer has a 15-year-old little boy. And 15-month-old little boy. It's okay. That's when Miss Joanne was speaking. She calls me every morning when I was working. And now that I'm not working, she calls me 5 to 7 times a day. Really close. Every time she's driving somewhere, she calls me.
I like to work.
And yeah. She and I have discussions all the time about, she goes, Mom, but this is the way this is. You know, I know you have that feel goody, whatever stuff, right? But now I have something to back it up for. Because he says, I want to warn you, though, when you line your words up with what Jesus says, you're going to sound very different from the unbelievers of this world. Pretty much all they know to talk about is how they feel and see in this natural realm. He says there's a difference between facts and truth.
Yes.
And this is what I'm going to talk to Jennifer about from now on. Okay, the facts may be that it takes that it takes $365 to fix your car. But the truth is that either God will provide the money or provide somebody to do it, you know, maybe without the money. So it says you, as a believer, are not, or to do the opposite of what other people do. Said, let's say, the guy says, what you mean if I'm feeling weak? Oh, he says, let the weak say I'm strong. And so a guy says to Brother Copeland, but isn't it lying for me to say I'm strong when I'm feeling weak and can hardly stand up? Isn't it denying the truth for me to say that I'm healed even when my eyes are swollen and my nose is running like a faucet? He said, no, because the feelings of weakness and sickness aren't the truth. They are physical facts. God's word is the truth. Mm-hmm. And if you believe the truth in your heart and keep confessing it with your mouth, it will change the facts. So let me give you a praise report. I was trying to wait for Miss Kathy to come back. I've known this since, I think, Thursday, or what's the one time this week, and I can hardly contain it. Jennifer left a job where she was verbally berated and hated it, and sometimes she'd be actually crying in the bathroom. The job was so horrible. And she went to a Christian agency, and she loves the job, but she's like contracted, and she has to get her own clients, and it's not been going well financially. Just a beautiful place to work. She made $400 one time for 2 weeks worth of work. And that's all she got. She's a licensed counselor with a master's degree. And all she had was $400 to show for 10 days worth of work. Okay? But so she's crying and whining and, you know, having fits because, you know, she's half the breadwinner of the family and all that stuff, you know? I mean, she has a really supportive person. But, you know, if your rent's this, your rent's that, you know? Quote. Yes. Fact, right? So I, you know me, I talk, especially now, I talk the word to her all the time, and I said, Jennifer, I know that's what it looks like, and, you know, what it feels like, but, you know, so anyway, we start praying. She had several interviews this last 2 weeks, lots of, one company called her, three had her come two different times, and had a third interview on the phone, and so they called her back, and they said, are you sure you want the job? And she said, yes, for sure, I want the job, and she's going to work with schools as a counselor. So anyway, she said, Mom, I need to make at least this. I told her to ask for $4,000 more than she was asking for. So I'm saying, this is your bottom line. Mm-hmm. This is your bottom line. Don't take anything left. To believe this in your heart. So I'm saying to God, okay, this is the bottom line, God. Mm-hmm. $4,000 more than she asked for. Mm-hmm. But in the same time, I'm open. And she kept saying, I said, Jennifer, when you doubt, that's why God and I go before you, because you just, this is what you see over here, you know, yeah, there's a rain cloud over there, but whoa, look how bright and sunshiny. Mm-hmm. So anyway, this is my evidence, because she's looking at the facts,
But the truth is, God can change your circumstances anytime, minute, hour, and day He wants. Mm-hmm. He can create a quote miracle, right? In any way. So the facts may look like this, but the truth is that God is omnipotent. He's in charge of everything. Mm-hmm. And I'm just so blessed to read this because I don't know if she wants me to tell the whole story, but she got $13,000 more than she asked for.
Woo!
Do you hear me? Wow. Not only did they hire her, the lady asked for the maximum you could get as a new counselor, and she said, the lady that was hiring her, and she wasn't sure the HR would give it to Jennifer, but they did. They gave her the maximum. She said, and let me tell you, I have to tell you a couple more things. When she came for the second interview, she said, the lady was so quiet and somber, I don't think she liked me. And I'm like, I'm rebuking this. I want you to know, I'm rebuking this in my brain. Okay, let them see her as God sees her. I'll say all this while she's talking to me, right? Because the facts are this, but the truth is, she is his beloved. Mm-hmm. She is the apple of his eye.
That's
right.
Right.
Okay. So all the time talking to her. I'm usually talking to her out loud. I no longer say the word but because it says it denotes everything that happened before. I go yet. So right now I don't have any clients yet. God is able to provide. Yeah. Okay.
That's right.
So anyway. She tells me later when she called him, she got the job and how much they offered her. She said, Mom, I know you told me to pray for that amount of money, that $4,000 more, but I still was kind of a little skeptical. I said, that's why God and I go for you, and that's why I keep talking to you. And then she said, but what came to mind was the verse that God can give you more than you can ask or think. Okay, hello, my child remembered her Bible verse, okay? And it came and it was appropriate. I mean, there were so many blessings for me. Mm-hmm. But it not only did that thing help me, I said, okay, Denise, this is where you need to put your money where your mouth where your money. Because if he can give her $13,000 more than he asked for, he can heal my body.
That's right.
Okay, so Joanne, thank you for being here. Okay. Living testimony. Okay? So when I'm sitting around my house, because I was sick last month, retired feeling, maybe unconsciously feeling sorry for myself that I'm not working anymore, mm-hmm. or that I had to change my circumstances, mm-hmm. I had to slap myself that day. I said, okay, get up. Mm-hmm. From your self-pity. And I wanted to run, you know, my knees are not perfect. I mm-hmm. wanted to run down the street screaming and howling and jumping and shouting. I wanted to call all you. I said, Joe, call them now. They're texting up. They're like, woo, hallelujah. I was because of the goodness of God. Not
goodness
because
of
it was
God.
My child, because, you know, he has no respect for persons.
Right.
But because I said, wow. It was just like, mm-hmm. okay, we say that we believe God can do all these things. We say we understand, but
there's
a study where a lady says, not believe in God, but believe God. Mm-hmm. Okay? Not believe in Him, but
believe what He says.
And whenever I'm talking to you, I'm praying it out loud. So I'm saying, Lord, Jennifer and I are together. We are two more together, and we're asking for at least this, blah, blah, blah. And one of the things the lady said, she said, there's a gentleness and a spirit about you. Mm-hmm. She said, there was something special about you. Jennifer Seeker, the lady don't like the lady, said, there's something special about you. Mm-hmm. And then she said, and then I heard you say, because the lady said, tell me anything now that you think might be a problem when you take the job, because I don't want to be, I've hired people, and then later on they say, well, I should have told you this, that, and the other. So she said, well, I have a young baby, and money's an issue, and if you get sick, it's an issue, I'm going to need to take off. And she was just so forthcoming. Mm-hmm. And, for a minute, my old self said, ooh, I don't know if you're supposed to tell me all that on the interview. But the lady said, because of your circumstances, and you told me about the child, and I could see how much you loved him, and that you were going to need this extra income, is why I asked for the max.
Wow.
Woo!
Hello.
Wow.
Because Jennifer was straight up honest.
Favor goes before you. Favor follows you.
Okay. Asked for the mat and God. Mm-hmm. The lady said, I wasn't sure to give it to you, but I asked for it.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Right? Amen.
More than Amen. Ask for it. Anyway, thank
praise
you for listening.
God.
That's my testimony.
That's
my praise report.
Thank you.
Amen.
And that's kind of like what you say when you have not because you ask not.
Yeah, and ask, and you have, and it says with believing, and what's going to help us ask with believing now is we don't have to look at the facts. We need to know the truth.
We need to know the truth.
And needs to share another call in her future.
Well, look, see, I would preach this.
You got to get it in your eyes, your ears, and your heart, and speak it out of your mouth.
That's right.
And that's what I was getting ready to say, Tammy, because at the bottom of that first page, it says, make it personal. You got to put the word there, mm-hmm. yes. personal.
Mm-hmm. Personally.
God should supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by mm-hmm. Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about me, my needs. Mm-hmm. I'm not
right.
worried about so
right,
and so that.
Right, right.
So if I don't make it personal to me, mm-hmm. I'm going to falter in my faith. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about me now.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I don't make it where I can get it in my head, in my ears, and in my heart, it ain't going to work.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
That's why you have to confess it.
It has to be confessed.
Yes. Can I read Mark 11, the 23rd verse?
Yes.
It said, "For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto the mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, it shall happen.
It shall happen. Mm-hmm. It shall happen.
It shall happen.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Sometimes instead of letting God move the mountain, a lot of times when we get out of a mountain, we try to do it ourselves. A lot of times.
And the way to get rid of the doubt is to dig deeper into the word and then to consistently have the word, hearing the word. Because faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And so when we hear the word of God, then when things come up, that's what comes up. That's what will come out. But if we're not listening, if we're not hearing it, if we're not getting it in our eyes, our ears, and our heart for it to come out, then other things will come out.
Mm-hmm.
We have that choice. Mm-hmm. We go back to that choice again, that choice of choosing life or choosing death. If we're always feeding on the death things, then that's what's going to come out of our mouth.
Well, the word tells us out of abundance.
Out of the abundance of the heart. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
The mouth speaks.
That's right.
So, yeah.
Where do we get the abundance from?
God.
By reading the Bible.
By reading the word. That's right. By reading the word. That continual river flowing.
But also, we do have to remember that abundance comes from either side. If
yes.
you keep speaking the negative and speaking what's not of God, that too will build up abundance in your heart, and that's what will come out, and that's what you'll have.
That's what you'll have.
If you keep saying that, well, I can't never remember all that. You say it all day, all throughout your day. Guess what? Once I'm asked something, what comes out? I don't remember. Because you always say, I don't remember.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. This I highlighted this little portion right here. It says, "I want you to." God, this is an instruction that God was giving Noble Haynes. "I want you to teach my children how to talk." God said to me, "They won't talk to the mountains. They want to talk to me about their mountains. I have said to them, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed." Whosoever means any person. Anyone can say, "Cancer, hey cancer, I am talking to you. You can't kill me. I command you in the name of Jesus, remove yourself from me. Cancer, hey cancer, you must go. You have to talk to the cancer king. You have to talk so the cancer can hear you." I hear people say, "We prayed and believed, and he still died." You prayed. What about the person with cancer? Did he speak to his mountain? So we can pray, but the actual person has to speak. It has to come out of. It has to. Yeah, we can.
Individual.
Yes. Yes. Individual. Yep. Because whosoever is me,
that's right.
Yes. It's you.
Mm-hmm.
But whosoever, he's speaking, yeah. And God does answer the prayer, answer our prayers when we are praying for other people. But again, when other things happen, then did that person speak? Yeah. Did they? Did they believe?
Yeah. Did they look at the facts or did they look at the truth of the Bible?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, Tammy, John 3:16, mm-hmm. for God so loved the uh-huh. world. Mm-hmm. It said, whosoever.
Whosoever.
So if you know that you're whosoever there, yeah. don't think you're whosoever.
Whosoever. That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right. And then the other, when you had made the comment, Denise, about if God could do that for her, then he could heal your body. You know, I had a thought one time. I woke up and I said, God, of course you can heal my body. You made it. Mm-hmm. So why am I even thinking that? Oh, you know, because, and there was a comment that Ken Hoffman made in the CD I have in the car. It's called A Treasure of Your Heart, but was talking about the law of increase. But it's talking about, do I think my problem is too hard for God? Sometimes I kind of think that. Like, I don't want to. And I've even talked to people who say, I don't want to bother God with that.
I'm thinking.
Used to be me. Everything. That's right.
That's right.
Because he said to cast out cares.
Mm-hmm. On him. I thought sometimes I was just asking for too much.
No.
Trying to be too big. No.
You see that back there in that color?
His riches. According to his riches. You got more than you and me and everybody else.
Mm-hmm. We so need God. I don't know who these people are who think they
that's
don't.
That's a religious spirit.
I used to feel undeserving. It wasn't that I didn't believe he couldn't do it. I felt like I messed up, so I really don't deserve to have a huge, a nice house. Like, I'm being too greedy.
Well, I don't deserve to get out of this thing. You know?
So we go back to grace. Mm-hmm. God's overwhelming desire to treat you like sin.
I don't think like that.
Never happened.
I was just
his overwhelming desire.
I was just reading about potato, where he talked about potato. He talks about he was asking for healing and everything, because he was hurting and everything. Mm-hmm. And he said he kept asking, and God finally told him, said, like I was talking about staying in the Word, told him that, you know, like a potato, you know what it looks like, you know how it tastes, and all like that.
You remember.
But you have to eat it. So what he was talking about was getting into the Word. Mm-hmm. He was praying for healing, but he didn't get into the Word and go to the Scriptures about healing.
About healing. That's right.
So that's why I said, God's Word, unless you put God's Word to what your problem or what situation you're in, unless you go to the Bible and put the Word, which is total truth, it can't be denied, that's what puts God into action to
that's
do
right.
what he's going to do.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. So good.
Yeah. That's what puts him into action.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Tammy, you know, also we, on this same line, that your need seems insignificant. It's real small. You don't know whether to cook green beans tonight or corn with the supper. And you don't even ask the Lord so that you can have peace of mind because somebody across the world has got some deadly disease and you're like, got it. But see, that's where we need to remember that our God is a personal God to each one of us.
To each one of us.
He cares. He says, I'll perfect that which concerns you. Mm-hmm. Cast all your cares on me. Mm-hmm. If that decision is bringing torment to your mind, he cares about that as much as he does
that's right.
that person that has the horrible disease. Mm-hmm. He is my Father. He's personal to me. Mm-hmm. He cares as much about that. Mm-hmm. And so people won't bring these insignificant things to him or walk with him in it because they think that, well, he's busy taking care of that. No, he's taking care of all of us.
Mm-hmm. All of us.
It means something to him. It doesn't matter how small. Mm-hmm. Or how great that we measure those things on the earth. Mm-hmm. To him, he cares about every bit. If it bothers you, it bothers him.
It bothers him.
Mm-hmm. And as Ms. Carmen was speaking, I feel like Holy Spirit saying, and the more you ask God, the more you flex your spiritual muscles. Mm-hmm. I mean, it should be get worse automatic. Mm-hmm. Jennifer says, you asking God about a parking space? Yes, I am. Mm-hmm. I'm asking God about a parking space. You know, I mean,
yes.
Those muscles. I talk to him about everything now. I didn't always talk to him about everything. I mean, every little simple thing, you know. And the more you do it, the more you flex your spiritual muscles and they get stronger.
and your faith gets bigger. So ask him. One lady said on the radio that she was talking to God about how she needed an onion. There was a truck in front of her, and one onion fell off the truck and fell under her car.
So he's a personal God.
He's a personal God.
He's a personal thing. I ask the Lord for chicken because we never have any meat. And I said, Lord, if it's even chicken, we have food but not meat. And I sit down there, and around half hour time, I see my grandson coming with a box of chicken that way. I start to laugh. And when he comes, he said, Grandma, what's the matter? I said, I asked the Lord for chicken, and here you are. And he said, I was going up the road. And the Spirit said, just turn around and go give my mom the chicken. Mm-hmm. I said, see? Give the chicken, God provide.
Yep. That's right.
Let me give this other testimony. A dear friend, she was always a stay-at-home mom, and it's a decision that they had made. Mm-hmm. And so financially, things got really, really tight. Mm-hmm. She tithed off of everything and anything that came through the house, not just the husband's paycheck. And
amen.
There was a lot of times that we would even help her with bathroom tissue because it was always tight. We learned if we went to her house, we brought a roll because a lot of times there wouldn't be any in that bathroom. She was at Food Line one day in states that they lived away, and she would leave the store. She said, oh, I didn't get that. And so she, right when she was thinking it, the Food Lion truck that had came to make delivery mm-hmm. was getting ready to pull off. And so, you know, she went early in the morning to the grocery store. Mm-hmm. And if the boxes are really beat up, they are not supposed to leave it. They're supposed to take it back and, you know, write on the inventory sheet and all of that. Mm-hmm. And anyway, or the guy was saying that they have liberty to just do whatever, but they can't sell it in the store. So he's getting ready to pull off, his window's down, she's getting in the car when she had the thought. He said, hey lady, and she looked up, he said, I've got a big thing of bathroom tissue, I can't take it back because it's so beat up, do you want it? She said, yeah, because she had a van. And then she said, when she called me to tell me, she said, I was scratching my head thinking, how do I tithe off of this? She said, how many rolls do I take? But she did. She said, Lord, I don't know if this is a tithe or not. This is an exact tithe. But she took some of the rolls and took it to where she fellowshipped. Mm-hmm. And put
it
in the janitorial closet as a tie.
Uh-huh. That's right.
Yeah.
Yes.
My God.
Yeah. Amen.
My God. We don't know the depth of the God that we serve.
Woo!
Yes, to get into the depth.
So, see, we get back to the green beans and the corn. Uh-huh. What concerned her?
Oh,
the need she had was as much to God as somebody that's got a horrible disease.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Mm. Praise Jesus.
That was good.
Amen. On Luke 6:38, we're familiar with that scripture.
Luke
6:38. Well, we'll start at the 36th verse. Luke 6:36. Be you therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Mm-hmm. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Mm-hmm. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given to you. Mm-hmm. Good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you met withal, it shall be measured to you again.
Hallelujah.
My God.
Praise God.
When we raped the Word of God is a seed, and the seed that we And anything that we have in our lives is seed, money, the way that we use money. It's a tool. Money is a tool. Mm-hmm. And we use it as a seed. So it says, give and it shall be given unto you good measure. There's also a scripture in Mark where it talks about, in Mark 4, where it talks about the seed and how seed is, how it increases, how you measure seed. So when we measure, we can do the same thing with the word when we measure it. So it's how much of the word we're taking in concerning our lives. And that covers our lives. The way that we measure the word is the way that it's going to be measured in our lives. I wish I had I think I marked that place in Mark where it talks about that. Oh yeah, Mark 4. 24. And he said to them, take heed what you hear. With what you measure, you met, it shall be measured to you. And to you that hear shall more be given. So as far as the word is concerned, that's when we look up things concerning our lives and we find a scripture that covers that, the way that we measure that word, meaning the way that we take it in and believe that word, then that's how it's going to be measured back to us, which is how we are we digging. And so if things are not happening, if we're praying and things are not happening, how deep have we dug in the word to get that solution?
Wow.
To get that.
Living in abundance.
In abundance. Mm. That's right.
And a lot of times when I pray, I use God's word. I read his word praying.
That is the way to pray.
You know, that's what you're supposed to do is pray in his, you know, with his word, using his word. Because a lot of times we have our own self-confidence. We think, you know, well, you know what, I can do it without God, or and a lot of times we might not do it meaningfully on purpose, but we do it because of self confidence that we think we got. You know, we put confidence in ourselves instead of reading God's word. I do it sometimes, and I have to catch myself. God catches me. You know.
Well, we
because of His love for me.
Because of His love for us. But we do need to have a certain confidence in ourselves. Mm-hmm. Because...
Well, self-confidence is in His Word, but not in ourselves. Thinking that we can do it and not have God.
We can't do it outside of Him, no.
Outside of God, you can't.
We can't. We can't do it outside of Him. Okay, I see what you're saying.
Yeah. Pride, you probably call it pride, I would think.
Yeah. Which is why the Word says that our daily bread, in the Lord's Prayer, He gives us our daily bread, which... We're feeding our... We're spirit, soul, and body. So we're feeding our bodies three hot meals a day. Mm. How much are we feeding our spirit in the day?
That's right.
And that's a good way to measure how we're measuring the word in our lives.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Get it back. Press down. Running over.
And running over.
Let me just say this. My husband and I, we had some funds that we needed to count. Mm-hmm. And it came up short. And I'm looking at him, you know, he had to dig in his pocket.
Yeah.
He had to dig in his pocket. He came up a little bit more short, and he had to dig in his pocket like about three times, right? Uh-huh. I was looking at him like, hey, you know, you got to do what you got to do to make this what it need to be. Uh-huh. So a couple of days later, I mean, and he didn't do it grudgingly, because my husband would give you the shirt off his back. Uh-huh. Really, he would. Uh-huh. But, he was like, man, I can't keep no money in my pocket. Just keep making me digging, make this money up. About a couple of days later, I got this piece of mail, and it said that it said there was some money in our account. And I was like, well, where did this come from? I mean, I knew the company it came from, but what is it? Uh-huh. You know, so... I waited a couple of days and I said, you know that money? Because he's always like, you know, did my check come? He's always asking, like, I know I'm getting some money somewhere. Just speaking
and faith that I need an extra check or something, you know. So I was like, well, you got some money in the mail today. Because I'm trying to figure out really why did they send it. Because we've gotten some extra, then we got some more extra. Why did they send it? He said, well, how much? And I told him. He said, well, and he just threw his hands up. He said, thank you, Lord. See, I told you God provided you here. When you just, I mean, he was just so happy because he had dug and dug and dug. And he wasn't upset about digging. But just the fact that God gave it back many times over.
Many times
over. Just, you know, and he, I mean, he just stood in the kitchen, threw his hands up. It's like, Lord, you are so, so good.
So good.
So, so good, good.
So good. He's just Amen. God. Amen.
He can't outgive it. You can't outgive him, even sometimes when you're given and you're like,
can't outgive him.
You cannot outgive him.
Amen. Amen. When it comes to healing in our bodies, laughter works good like a medicine.
Well, what's it again?
Laughter.
Oh, laughter.
Works good like a medicine.
Yes, yes.
Proverbs.
And I think that's Proverbs 17:22.
You haven't heard no problem with that.
Praise God for laughter.
What was the verse again?
Proverbs 17:22.
Okay. Wow.
And we're talking about putting the in our eyes, ears, and heart. Putting the word in our eyes, ears, and our heart, and speaking it out of our mouth. A merry heart does good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. Our focus is a merry heart does good like a medicine. In this study, I was there was a man that Ken Copeland knew who had cancer. And he went to the video store and got these old comedy things.
Three Stooges and all of them.
Three Stooges, yeah, and all of those. And he just locked himself up in a room and just watched those tapes and laughed and laughed. And when he went back to the doctor, there was no sign of the cancer. And
imagine that doctor.
One, I know, right? He also gave a testimony of Creflo Dollar had. This was a couple of, I think only a couple of years ago, but he had gone to the doctor just for a regular checkup, and they said they wanted to do some X-rays, and so they actually seen cancer, and I'm not sure where. But, so then when he was going back, so his x-rays showed that he had cancer. So, he said, I got somebody living inside of me. I can't have cancer. That was his confession. That was what he spoke. And so, him and his son, you know, the family, everybody's praying about this. And so when he went back to the doctor, though, when they did the x-ray, you could literally see a picture of Jesus in the x-ray. And they kept, because they kept saying, do you see what I see? Because even the doctors kept saying, do you see that? Do you? Everybody in the room was like, do you see that? And because he said, I got somebody living inside of me. I can't have cancer. So Jesus.
Does it remind you of the three Hebrew boys in the fire
furnace? That's right. That's right. That's right.
A fourth man, and he looked like
the son. He looked like the Son of God.
When you said about
the
doctor,
what the Son of God looked like.
When you said about the doctor, and the doctor said, "Do you see this?" The only thing I could think about was Dr. Bolt, and Dr. Bolt went and got some other doctors, me and Miss Arabella, we standing in there. We just got through praying, and he said, Bonna, you got stuff growing. It's growing back. Let me go get. And they were so excited, they were just running around, you know. And Miss Bella said, that's all she did. Look up and said,
That's
and
right.
They excited to see this.
Living testimony. Amen. Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Laughter work is good like a medicine. So I believe that I will
always
end it there.
Praise God for the laughter.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Good teaching.
Amen. Yes. Amen. Good teaching.
Remember, truth, not facts.
Yes.